Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And I am Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
So it's been a wonderful week, hasn't it? It's been a wonderful month. It's been a wonderful year. But my God, does the year fly by? I just don't know. We know we were talking, Nyla and I, the other day that we need 48 hours in a 24-hour day because that's the only way to get things done, I think. Or literally, don't sleep. But that's not advice, okay? That was just something to say because without sleep, we can't function. So hey, always remember to get a good night's sleep, okay? So we have our guest today, which Nyla is going to introduce. But before that, just two facts for you, okay, on homeopathy. So if you did not know, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure that you already do, but hey, here goes. Homeopathy works on the principle that the more that a remedy is diluted and succussed, which means shaken, the stronger its energetic effects become. And you may wonder, but yes, it's true. It goes against conventional medicine, which very much focuses on higher doses. And the more the material dose, the stronger the effect. So that's interesting in itself, isn't it? Remedies are diluted to such an extent that no original particles or of the substance exist. And that in itself has intrigued researchers in physics and quantum biology. But hey, it doesn't just stop there. I have one more fact for you, okay? By the late 19th century, homeopathy had spread to every continent with homeopathic hospitals and dispensaries in Europe, the Americas, India, and Africa. Now, in fact, in the US, more than 20 homeopathic medical schools were operating in the 1800s, and many mainstream hospitals began as homeopathic ones. Today, India has the largest number of homeopaths in the world. It's approximately 300,000 at the moment. But the root of this global spread traces back to Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's time. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's homeopathy for you. But enough of that, enough facts for today. Let's move to Nyla to introduce today's special guest.
Welcome, everyone, to our special episode today because you are joined by Harry van der Zee, one of the most respected voices in modern homeopathy. For nearly 40 years, Harry has combined deep clinical practice with groundbreaking work on birth, trauma, epidemics, and mental health. He's a teacher, author, publisher, and humanitarian, co-founder of the Emma Resonance Healing Foundation, bringing homeopathic solutions to communities worldwide. We are delighted to welcome Harry to share his journey and vision for the future of homeopathy with us. Welcome, Harry.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, Atik and Nyla, for having me on your show. I'm very happy and look forward to our discussion.
We have a lot to talk about today, and it's going to be a very inspiring episode, like all the episodes, but we would take this opportunity right at the beginning, Harry, myself and Nyla, to just say that, you know, the work that you do, the books that you've authored, the things that you are doing in the background, for example, serving humanity through homeopathy in Africa, the greatest respect to you and the greatest honor to you as well, because you inspire so many homeopaths around the world. And if they can go on and even replicate even 10% of what you're doing, even 5%, it just changes, doesn't it? And it's a societal change when you serve humanity. So thank you from Nyla and myself for everything that you do and everything that you're going to continue to do.
Thank you for the compliment. And In a way, I can't take credit for it because none of it I planned myself. It was totally a work of grace just happening, and I just happened to be where I was and where I am right now. Basically, that's really true.
You know something, Harry? Those who are truly humble will always say the same thing. So, again, the greatest respect to you and honor. But hey, enough of that. Let's move on to the show. Come on, Nyla. Let's get into the
Sometimes it
question.
is, sometimes what is needed is to have the right person at the right place at the right time. This is what you also talk about in your book as well. Why are you born at that time? Why were you there at that time? But before we go there, Harry, we would like to know how your journey of homeopathy unfolded. What got you inspired to study homeopathy, to become a homeopath? For our audience, please share your experience.
I'll try to keep it short, but basically, when I started meditating around the age of 20 or something like that, and became aware of the possibility for humanity and for myself of enlightenment, of being an awakened person, of a life beyond suffering, that's what I wanted for myself and what I wanted for others. And it's felt like, but if that's not like having a hobby or something like that, that's more a life's purpose. So I felt that I'd like to find a profession in which this somehow can manifest. I had no idea what that would be, but I thought if I study medicine, I perhaps keep most options open. I can still start a church or become a psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever, or whatever form it may take. And so I studied medicine, realized that if I want to be able to help others, let me start with myself. So during the medical studies, I also did a training in psychosynthesis and in the medical application of psychosynthesis. And then when I finished my studies, I started seeing people, and all we did was talk. And what we did was kind of looking at, okay, you have migraines or you have this or that, but what is actually the matter? So we were looking at like what is the real issue here. And after having done that for a year, 2 years, something like that, and looking back, I'm still amazed that people were coming because I wasn't treating them, it felt like. But it felt like I would love to have a tool. And I knew about homeopathy. I had a book at home and we had children around the time. So if they would have something, I would give them something. But I had no really in-depth knowledge of it. All I knew is like if the left ear is infected, you give this. And if it's the right, you do that. And if it's green, then this. And when it's yellow, that. And I wasn't interested in that kind of thing. I wanted something deeper than that. So I decided to just take some time off, and I called a monastery I knew about, asked, "Can I stay with you guys? All I need is a room and to be left alone." And I brought mineral water with me and a big bag of apples so I wouldn't be dreaming about food because it felt my dreams were going to be important. I don't know why it felt like that, but it was, and it was important. Because every night I was there, I would have like five dreams or something like that. I would wake up from them, scribble them down a little bit, and then during the day work them out, connecting with whatever had been going on in my life. And that went on day after day, night after night. And then the last night I was there, I decided this night I want to dream about a direction. And I had a series of dreams. And I don't recall all of them, but one of them was I was following footsteps in the sand of someone I knew who was a homeopathic doctor. And then there was a dream where I was standing in front of a rainforest. It's only after I found myself in Africa that I kind of felt it was a forebode of something else. But I was standing in front of a rainforest, beautiful, and out of it came like fireworks. Fireworks in all sorts of colors. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I was looking at that. And then from the bottom up, a huge number one, white number one came up. And underneath it said homeopathy. A bit like a car commercial, you know? But then. And so I woke up from that dream. And then while being awake, I had another vision. And I was sitting under the trunk of a huge, mighty tree. And in front of me was a clear stream of water. And I was sitting there in a meditative posture. And I had found my place. So I went back home, visited the doctor whose footstep I had been following, and I said, "There must be something about homeopathy that I don't know. Tell me about it." This was a Friday, she told me, and so I said, "What do I do?" And she said, "Well, there's a training, 3 years, and you can sign up for that and read this book, and from Monday on, I supervise you." So I started seeing patients and treating them homeopathically from the weekend after. That's how it started.
What an amazing journey indeed. Wow,
I got
very
goosebumps.
inspiring.
Got goosebumps with the dreams because I also was treating my kids homeopathically 20 years ago. I was just using for acutes, just like this ear, no sniffles, etc. And as we were talking before, COVID was the birth of my change. I was thinking, what is the purpose? Why am I here? From there could be anyone else here. Why was I born? I cannot be just raising kids, living a life from day to night, and just go from this world. There must be a purpose. And if I'm thinking about it, there must be a purpose. And I started searching. I always want, I love helping people. I loved helping humanity in one way or another. I have been doing charitable work, etc., volunteering. But then I thought, okay, kids will have their own way. What am I going to do when I'm around 50, when everyone is gone, I'm sitting at home. I was running a business. I didn't like running that business. And that was my enlightening moment. Okay, let's start studying homeopathy. It was just like, okay, let's start studying homeopathy. I'll treat some people, give them medicines. But when I started, I had a dream. I was in a rural area. And I had a big house made of mud, and in that there was a big space, an outdoor space that was included in the vicinity of my house. And I see a light coming from the sky, like from higher up. In my mind, it's a light coming from higher up into the vicinity of my house that is connecting me and my house to something higher. And that was my moment that whatever I'm doing, that is what I need to do, and I have to focus. I have to work through it. I have to be there for everyone because this is going to connect me to the higher conscious.
Beautiful.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, Every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah. It's a profound journey, isn't it? we talk to so many homeopaths around the world, and those who have been practicing for decades, and even those who have just recently started the journey, for example, enrolling into a school or college. But it's just so beautiful. I always use this phrase that everyone has a story to tell. We just have to listen. You know, every human being has a story, you know, happy, sad, whatever. It's life, you know, life as we know it, you know. And it's fascinating when you look at homeopathy and you look at these stories and how people's lives were changed, you know, from disaster to recovery, literally, you know, and they found their way. But the most beautiful thing, Harry, about homeopathy is it's a calling. And, you know, people say, oh, what do you mean it's a calling? But it absolutely is, because you get called to serve others. And, you know, I was saying the other day, even though it might sound a bit, you know, odd, but you can, once you've practiced homeopathy, once you've, if you've done the best that you possibly can helping others, then you can technically just die in peace, because you've done the best that you could helping others, right?
Yeah, I would even say there have been patients where I felt like this patient alone was worth it, spending a lifetime as a homeopath. Because some people have such a beautiful transformation that, yeah, it just leaves you in gratitude.
Can you share a story? Can you share something, if you are allowed to, anything that that was such an experience?
I'd love to share a story of a case that was not treated by myself, but that had a huge impact on myself. And because I had been doing this work on birth and the miasms, and seeing that the miasms, there's an other side to them, not only to pathology, but basically to the awakening of mankind, and that they play their role, just like individual diseases play their role in our development. And so I was at a conference where a case was shown of a highly depressive man, suicidally depressed, a man that went to the homeopath and said, if you can't cure me, I'll take my life. And that's quite an entrance, isn't it? And the homeopath prescribed him all sorts of remedies, and nothing worked. The man was also HIV positive, and this was all on video. The man was also HIV positive. And so the homeopath thought, if I can't treat his depression, let me do something for his HIV, for being HIV positive. And around the time, in Homeopathic Links, the journal I was editing around the time, we had published an article by Peter Chappell about a new remedy that he found, created while being in Africa for AIDS. And so this man living in the US got this remedy that Peter called PC1, Peter Chappell 1, PC1. You can't put an indication on the label, so he just gave it a number. And then on video, this man had such an amazing transformation, the kind of transformation why I started my profession. This man initially couldn't believe anyone would ever love him. He couldn't believe it. And after taking PC1, and I remember him describing, he said, It was as if everything went up into the air, then fell down, all on its place. And I love everyone. I love everything. And he was weeping, full of love for everything and everyone. Where before he couldn't imagine anyone ever loving him, he was so much full of love that he had enough for everyone. And this transformation, I've been in contact with him years later, even stayed for a long, long time. This was a full awakening. And when I watched that video, it was like an immediately seeing what this meant. It meant that this remedy that Peter had been using in Africa for, or started using, it was on in the initial years, wasn't just only treating the symptoms. HIV/AIDS is related to sexuality. Sexuality happens within relationships. You get infected when you don't take care of yourself or the other, when you don't respect yourself or the other, when you don't love yourself or the other. It's a teacher of love. It's a very simple epidemic. Once you know, okay, it's possible to get infected or be infected, check, be careful. Simple, end of it. So it was like, I was like being struck by lightning seeing that case.
Wow.
And because that case was the most impressive way I had seen ever homeopathic remedy work. And that's when I approached Peter, who just happened to be there. He was not the one who had treated this patient, but he happened to be at the same conference. And I said, Peter, is there a place in Africa where I can go and have and watch and interview some of the patients you treated? And that's where that work started.
It's interesting just to ponder over that, and have a question actually for you. And the remedy that Peter has come up with, was that plant-based mineral or was it just a mixture?
He tried different. He started treating patients individually, like you pulsatilla to one, like a podium to another, etc. And he had reasonably good results. And around that time, there was this book, like 28 million people infected with HIV in Africa. So, and practically no homeopath in Africa to treat them. So what could be the answer to this? You needed a remedy that basically could be prescribed based on the diagnosis. And now, like you know, normally speaking in homeopathy, we individualize each and every case. But there is one example, and that's epidemic diseases, where we can take many cases together and based on the collective symptoms, prescribe. Now, he took some 70 cases, something like that, and was looking in the homeopathic materia medica, all the available remedies that were known, whether there was a remedy that could fit all of it. Because he didn't want like 10 or 20 or 30, no, just one single remedy, because that's the only way for non-homeopaths to be able to prescribe successfully. They can't individualize further within the group of what we call a genus epidemicus, the totality of a condition. So when he didn't find it in the Materia Medica and he wrote to several homeopaths, myself included, can you find something based on this? Nothing came out. And then somehow a thought came up or something whispered in his ear, I don't know. Based on shamanic work he had done before, spiritual work he had done before, he had encountered what he called a benign, intelligent, loving being. And somehow he always felt that connection to be there. So he placed a bottle of water in front of him and simply asked this being, please, based on this totality, he took the totality of HIV/AIDS in Africa in his mind, based on this totality, can you create a similimum for this condition? No idea whether that would work. He gave it to a group of patients, and once they come back, one after the other, they were well. Appetite back, weight increasing, no more headaches, no more joint pains, no more cough. Again, able to go to work, able to go to school. This was like a miracle, you could say. This was a miracle cure. And I must say, after this, tens of thousands of people have had this remedy until now. And I remember one or two cases where it didn't seem to work for some reason. And we've done a study also comparing this remedy PC1 with the regular antiretroviral viral treatment, and it outperformed the regular treatment by far.
Amazing.
On all levels. Yeah.
And you have this remedy, right?
Yeah, sure. We have it as a foundation, we have it. And in Africa, we have trained many Africans now how to prescribe this. But once it was clear that this way of creating or asking, or you could even call it praying for a remedy works, you could also do it for malaria. You could also do it for tuberculosis or for many, many other conditions. And so by now there are hundreds of these remedies. And we work with a kit of 36 of them in Africa, and we've trained over 1,000 people. So it's Africans that do this for their fellow Africans and make this available.
Oh, you know, that takes me on to that question, which I will ask you after we finished recording. There's two things, actually, I want to move into. I know Nyla wants to ask about the miasms, and also I want to ask about your work as far as HIV in Africa. But before we do that, you know, as you were talking just now, Nyla, I'm sure you felt it because I saw it. It's almost like we weren't here for that moment.
Yeah,
there's some very powerful energy with you, Harry, which is very nice because it certainly took me away. For a moment, I actually forgot where I was.
I remember when I was younger and I had those extreme period cramps. And the only thing that would work was some water where my mother would pray and give it to me. And I would ask for it. I said, don't give me any remedies. Don't give me anything. Just give me the water. Pray on that water and just give it to me. And that helped.
Yeah.
But I have to say your voice is healing as well. I'm very much into these type of things, you know. So that's why I'm just sharing with the listeners this very beautiful energy actually taking place as we speak. Because when you are narrating or relaying, it actually does take you to that moment. It's really, I can't explain it in words. So I don't have the right words, but anyway, it's a beautiful experience.
I got stuck. I didn't know what I was saying something. I don't know if you could hear.
Yeah, everything was fine.
All
perfect.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens with technology. Okay, there's no homeopathic remedy to fix technology, but hey, everything is fine here.
But there are homeopathic remedies that will help you if you are affected by technology.
Now, we would like to talk to you about your work in Africa, actually. And you've mentioned HIV, of course, and please do share for those who aren't aware of AMA for Africa and what you're doing. And I know Richard Pitt, who's been on the show, spoke about it as well. And thank you, actually, Richard, for introducing us to Harry. It's very, very kind of you.
Yeah, I know Richard for quite some time. At some point, he invited me over to San Francisco, where he was living at the time, to give a seminar there. And then at some point, while I was on the brink of going to Malawi for a couple of months to start a new initiative there, he wrote to me like, is there anything we could do together or something like that? I said, well, you can come to Malawi, which he did. So we had a wonderful time there together for a couple of months. And he stayed even longer after that and then went on to Kenya. And so, yeah, Africa has been an important place for him. And he put me in contact with an important master, non-duality master. So in that sense, we have a strong connection, yeah. Yeah, like I said, the work and the remedy for HIV/AIDS is just working wonders, and I've seen amazing cases. I've said, and like when I went to the first time, I remember sitting across a lady who had been started treating 10 months before, something like that. She was hospitalized, so-called in the TB ward, because no one had AIDS. Although also many AIDS patients die of TB, but anyway, she was in the TB ward. She was weighing 26 kilos, a grown-up woman, 26 kilos. Everyone around her was dying, and someone brought this remedy to her. And now she was sitting across me, weighing 52 kg, feeling totally fine. So we've seen cases like that. And like I said, it is possible to create in a similar way remedies for other conditions. And a very important one is the one for malaria. Malaria is the main condition in sub-Saharan Africa that causes death and suffering. And it's the main miasm in Africa. If you read books of organizations that started doing voluntary work, aid work in Africa like some 50, 60 years ago, and they write about it, they write about the big plans they had and all the ways in which they failed, which is typical of the malaria miasm, being full of plans and then having all the frustrations and the hindrances and things don't work. And that's typical for malaria. So it feels like lifting the malaria miasm from Africa's shoulders is perhaps the most important thing that we can do with these remedies. So we made malaria prevention an important project. So treating malaria with this remedy, which has another number, PC240M, is one thing, but preventing it is even better. And that it works as a preventative, I already saw on my first visit, because there were some people treated by Peter for an acute bout of malaria, people that had it like every 1 or 2 months, and then for 6 or 8 months, no more malaria. So it worked acutely, but after that, they stayed out of it for a long time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And so at some point, I think the first time was, the first time was in the Congo, East Congo, where there was a school where they had orphans, a couple of hundreds of orphans, which we treated for whatever conditions they had. And then I suggested, what about giving all of them this malaria remedy for a while, Just give it like on a daily basis and then perhaps once a week, something like that. And 3 months later, I got a message like, should we continue? Because we haven't seen malaria now for quite some while.
Wow.
That was a powerful indication.
Very much.
In the same region, there was someone that had been trained by our team that was also supplying the remedy within a kind of a village. And at some point, he was called by the hospital manager, a Red Cross hospital, can you please come to me? And the hospital manager showed him the statistics for malaria in the hospital. It had reduced by 95%. And the
Wow.
hospital director had a problem with that because he said, how do I now pay my nurses? Yeah.
It's
We did another
yeah.
test in a place for a kindergarten. How do you call that in English again?
Nursery.
Nursery, where they had a couple of hundred kids. Every year they would lose 5 kids. They started giving this remedy to the children in the nursery regularly. No more death. So then we knew this is really working. And then the project started, the Africa Malaria Prevention Project, started in Malawi, and by now it is spread in many sub-Saharan countries, and teams of volunteers are this year probably reaching over 1 million people that are
Great.
being prevented for this condition. We were also in a very lucky place to be able to do good research in a city called Bukavu, which is also Eastern Congo. And a doctor there had been trained by one of our volunteers. By now, the trainees have become trainers. And so it's more and more Africans doing it themselves. And so this doctor was working in certain parts of the city. And when I was in contact with him, I understood that the city is totally divided in health zones, and each health zone has its own health facilities. And he was just working in a few of them. I said, is it possible to collect data on malaria in each health zone? Yeah, definitely. They all have these data. So they know how many patients are being treated as outpatients, how many are hospitalized, how many die. And so he gathered that information for a period of 6 years before starting the malaria prevention, and then starting this malaria prevention in only a part of the city, and then compare. And it showed from the study that we published, it showed that for every dollar that was spent on malaria prevention, the local hospital saved $40 on treatment. And if you calculate also the loss of lives and things like that, you get into numbers that are just unimaginable. And they called it the social return on investment. It's very strange to express lives in money, but that's what they do, and it's extremely high, is what I understood.
It's amazing work. It's abs like saving lives and doing this. This also shows that prevention works in homeopathy, because there is always this debate, no, we treat the symptoms, but we can prevent. Hahnemann did it.
Definitely.
You are doing it, and you are seeing, because after the disease is established, it's a bit difficult to treat. So if we can prevent, we should be doing that, and if it will help many more people. There was something very interesting that you said, that lifting the malaria miasm will lift the population as well. Like they are living in the process of malaria.
Yes.
That will take us to a little bit of miasmatic understanding. Can you, taking the example of malaria, explain how you see the miasms and what is the process of it? And then we also want to know, if someone wants to join you, how can they join? But let's do the process first and joining.
Great. Malaria has a lot to do with, you could say, tribal consciousness. And the tribe is like a safe community, but at some point there is the desire to lead your own life, to manifest your own dreams, to live your own dreams, to individualize further. And then the tribe can become a hindrance. So also in the birth process and the malaria miasm, you see at the end of the dilatation phase. So when the birth canal starts to open, and there is this desire to come out, but it's not possible yet. An attempt to go out, but it's not possible yet. That's the dynamic of the malaria miasm. And so to lift it off Africa's shoulders, it's a collective thing. It's not an individual miasm, it's a collective thing. So my estimation is, my expectancy is that if we treat enough of the African population, that at some point you will reach a kind of a critical point where there is a switch over for the whole of the collective. I'm looking at the malaria data from several countries, and there is a slight careful indication that in those countries where we are active, and you compare them with neighbor countries, that there is this thing already happening, possibly. But let's be careful here. Where we can see it very prominently, very clearly, is in schools. We make malaria prevention to available to hundreds of schools. And then what you see in if you have a malaria endemic area, and especially when it's a rice field area with a lot of water around and things like that, you can have absenteeism figures of like 25%, meaning that a child loses out one quarter of its school time. And the other three quarters, it is recovering from the previous bout of malaria. So when they start making malaria prevention available at a school like that, you see the 25% going down to a normal 2%. There's always some reason to be absent. It can be even a funeral or someone getting married or whatever, or just sick for whatever. And then what you see is that the school results go up. In Africa, most of the countries, and perhaps even all of them, but all the ones that we've been working until now, they have state exams. So you get very objective measures of how schools are doing. And all those schools that use malaria prevention become the highest ranking schools within their county. That's what we heard from the Ministry of Education. This means that children that earlier on were not allowed to go to secondary school now perform well enough to go to secondary school, meaning that they have a chance to escape the poverty trap their parents are in, to follow further education, to fulfill their dreams, to use their talents instead of just work in the fields and that's it.
Yes, that's going to happen. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for everyone who is working with you. And how can anyone who is desperately wanting to help and want to join, how can they do that?
There's our website, arhf.ngo. The NL one that you see behind me, the listeners don't see it, is also still working, but arhf.ngo, Amar Resonance Healing Foundation.ngo. There's a lot of information on the kind of support that we need. We definitely need funds. Although our teams work all as volunteers, we have to support them with remedies. We have to support them with transport costs and things like that. But even then, they're able to prevent a child for malaria for a whole year for less than 10 cents per child, which is extremely cheap. Low cost. Cheap is not a nice word. It's low cost.
Low cost,
And, but still, for a million, children, you need 100,000.
Yeah.
And the regular foundations and grants and funds and whatever, they always have regular doctors in their boards and say, no, this can't work. This can't be serious. It can't be it. So we're totally depending on individuals that have an open heart and an open mind and, yeah, are on the same wavelength and resonate with what we do and with what homeopathy stands for. Because homeopathy stands for love. The law of similars, to me, I translate it into loving what is. Because instead of suppressing what is, giving an antibiotic or a painkiller or whatever it is, we just mirror with a remedy and in a consultation what is and accept it fully for what it is. And the beautiful thing is that once you accept what is, it can change.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't, that's fine too.
This actually takes me on to something, just be purely because of what you say. In fact, I think you should, by the way, Harry, I think you should get onto these audio platforms and read your books out because listening to you is just heaven. I'm loving it. It's just the way that you talk. It's and you remember things. It's really nice, isn't it? We talk. It's just nice, isn't it? You know. Anyway, what was I going to say? I have no idea now because I totally went off somewhere else. But it's the beauty of homeopathy, isn't it? It's just how powerful that is. And you were narrating, you know, talking about malaria and prevention, and this is, you know, we're talking about the miasm, and it's such a different route, isn't it? It's almost like high speed, you know, you're on the third lane of a motorway, let's say, which is usually called an overtaking lane, and that's where you go f as fast as you can. And then you've got homeopathy, which says, just slow down a bit. Slow down. Talk to me. Let me talk to you. Let's just stand in that moment and then let me help you. I know that homeopaths, yourself included, we even if it's an acute, even if it's an emergency clinic and you've got, I don't know, 100 people standing, but it's not panic. It's not panic. Oh my God, got to do it, got to do it. It's almost like, tell me your symptoms. When did it start? Blah, blah, whatever the questions are, right? And you look at the picture and then you say, okay, well, this is probably going to be the remedy or remedies, you know? And it's done. There's never an emergency in that sense, unless it's, of course, it's life-threatening. I'm talking about just standard run-of-the-mill. That's also a beauty of homeopathy, right? Because when you're calm, you can take in more information. When your cortisol is very, very high, you know, and you're just stressed out, you can't because it's just like a panic mode. It's a beauty. It's a beauty of
Yeah, it's
homeopathy.
true. It's definitely true. And it's like what Hahnemann said, you need to be the objective observer. An objective observer is totally blank, is just here now. Just here now. And the patient is coming because the patient is not experiencing the here now, but is suffering from the past or anything they project on the future. And a homeopathic remedy can just bring you back to here now. A remedy helps you to drop what you're not. And what you are, there are no words for what you are. You can
You know,
only experience it.
this is so nice how you say it, because loving what is and loving what you are. Forget what you were, forget what you will be. Just live in the here and now. And that can change so much in our lives. That can actually help us to slow down, to reflect, and to love ourselves and everyone who is around us. And that is what homeopathy is. Loving what is.
Definitely,
Loving what is.
definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's much more than a treatment of conditions. It's a spiritual tool.
And that was part one of our insightful talk with Harry van der Zeer. Stay tuned next week for part two. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the homeopathy health show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.